mistakes plus some. But no matter what, God continues to love us and be faithful to us. Bless your heart. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. What a privilege and a great honor to be here with you all on this day of celebration. 28 years of working in God's vineyard. Amen. Come on, you can give yourself a nice round of applause. And to your servant leader, Pastor Kelvin Redman, I promised myself back in my hotel room that I was not going to cry. I lied to myself. I promised myself that I would not cry. But these are not tears of sadness, but of joy. Pastor Redman has been not just a big cousin, but a big brother. Not just a big brother, but a friend. Not just a friend, but a confidant. Not just a confidant, but a mentor. A lot of late night phone calls. No heavy breathing, though. But tears have been shed. Pain has been felt. Sometimes our conversations are full of joy. Sometimes there is sadness for both of us, I'm sure. But none the least, God has been faithful. Yeah. Lady Katina Redman, bless you for being a blessing to Pastor Redman. Amen. I'm just getting it all out the way, and the reason being is because although I'm round, I am not as long-winded as round people look. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you that are here today, to the music ministry, to all of you all that it takes to put up and put forth all that you all do, body of Christ. God bless you all. Amen. Give yourselves a round. Amen. 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 And finally, but not lastly, to my little sister, I call her baby girl. Amen. We don't always see eye to eye. One of the reasons is because she's shorter than me. Amen. But the main reason is because she's my little sister and she don't understand that I was born the boss. Amen. And I'm the boss of her. Amen. Amen. She just got to get it down in her spirit. Amen. Pray for her, y'all. Pray for her. Amen. I just want to do just a short verse of this song, and then I'm going to do what the Lord says do. Y'all be, y'all hear that button say, whoo, thank you. Bless the Lord. He done let us free. Hallelujah. Y'all hear that button? That button is shouting right now, giving God glory and victory. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because love me. Amen. Amen. I said a verse. Amen. 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 We would like to invite your thinking, your intellect, your heart to the book of Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, forgive me. Chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. All right, Brother Dale, leave me alone, man. How many of you love Jesus, really? I ain't talking about me. You don't know me to love me right now, do you? But how many of you love the Jesus in me? How many of you love the Jesus? Acts 2, I pray that I didn't overlook anyone. Acts 2, 41 through 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their, that's where the problem going to come in at, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. 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 Just give me. Now listen, I told y'all already that I'm round. Thank you. I was getting ready to say overweight, but you know, I ain't really, you know. You know, just pleasingly plump. But however, I make the best billboard. B-I-G-C. Big C. That's what I call your pastor, Big C. But it also stands for Because I'm God's Church. But then, Big Church. Big Church. Because I'm God's Church. Big Church. Because I am. Amen. Y'all pastors pretty quick. Y'all thought y'all would be, you know. Because I'm God's church. Ford Motor Company. General Motors. Chrysler. Kia. All of the different manufacturers of vehicles. Design, all different types of designs of cars. But one thing they have all in common. If you go into the inside of the vehicle, typically go into a little box that they call the glove box. Look on the inside of there, you'll find what they call an instruction manual. It is to give you a sense of having the ability to properly operate their vehicle, which is now your vehicle. And they want to give you a sense that even though you overpaid for it thousands of dollars, they would like to give you the sense of that you can operate their product. I'm sure it's a few ladies in the room that are probably going to agree with the statement I'm getting ready to make. How many of your husbands or you yourself personally have went to different stores, purchased a table, an entertainment center, a nightstand, and it had to be assembled? And when you ordered it, bought it, knew you was putting it in the car and it had to be put together, you are already shaking your head saying to yourself, Lord, I hope my husband opens this box and read all of the directions. I know y'all can't say it too loud, ladies, but it's the truth, ain't it? Something about us men, we tend to go in the box, get the directions. I can be a prime example. I can tell you, a few weeks ago, I purchased a dining room table. It came with four bar stools. The four bar stools had to be assembled. But I'm going to tell you what I done. Now, this is the preacher talking to you. I went in the box, opened up all of the things, and set them off to the side. You know, they were labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I went in the box. I found the directions. They were there. I even looked at them. I went through a few of the pages. I even attempted to look at where the bar stools were to be assembled. But then I grabbed the little Allen wrench they gave me, the screws that were there, and the stool pieces, threw the directions, and begin to put it together. Needless to say, when I got through with the first stool, although it looked it good, it did. It looked it really good. You know, it had four legs, sort of like this chair here. It had a seat, had a back, sort of like that chair. But the only thing about mine is that it did this. It wobbled just a little bit when you got ready to sit down in it.
And most folks would ask, well, what happened? Because typically human nature tends to make us want to blame the manufacturer. Stick with me, I'm going somewhere. Human nature typically wants us to blame the manufacturer. The first thing I said, you know what? They done sold me some junk. All these pieces ain't cut to say. I knew I shouldn't have paid. I should have paid a little more for this table. The old statement, you get what you pay for. That's what I said to myself. Never until I started to put together the table, the chairs, by the directions, did I understand that it was never the manufacturer's fault. It wasn't the fault of the manufacturers, neither did it have anything to do with the furniture store. All it had something to do was my human ingenuity to take the directions and toss them. I wanted to do it my way. Now, don't y'all start blaming me, looking at me with that judgmental eye, because you do the same thing. You choose to do it your way. And most of the time, I'll say it so we can get that point drive home. We don't blame ourselves. We very seldom look in the mirror. We want to blame everybody else. We want to look at the manufacturer. You know, they sure messed up my stuff. No different than when I was a little boy. And my father would buy me, I liked the model cars. How many other young men in here used to love model cars? And we would put them together. But you had to have glue. You had to have these different pieces to assemble it. But there was a proper way for it to be assembled so that it functioned like it was supposed to. I wish I was praying with me. So that it functioned like it was supposed to. So that it operated like it was supposed to operate. No different than in our text. The writer Luke here describes the early church. You know, somebody, some folks are so intelligent, they ask the question, what's wrong with the church today? You ever ask that question? Come on now, I know somebody else in here outside of me. Don't ask that question. What's wrong with the church today? How come the church can't get it right? Most of the times, churches can't get it right simply for one particular reason. We have deviated away from the instruction. There is a model that God has set forth in the second chapter of the book of Acts of what he intended and wants the church to look like and to be. Away from the instructions, you're going to have all sorts of trouble. Verse 41 says these words, then those who gladly, we're going to put a comma right there, those who gladly. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm an observative person. At least I like to think I am. And when I came in today and I sat down in my seat, whoo, that feel good. All right. And I sat down in my seat and I looked around and I looked at all the other people in the building. Most of you were standing. None of you, I ain't picking on you, but none of you, when you sat down, did this to the chair. None of you checked to see if it would hold you. None of you looked up under the bottom to see the name of the manufacturer. None of you hit it to see if it was rickety or not. All you did was sat down. Ain't it amazing how we know God as Jehovah Rapha, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, a bridge over troubled water, a way out of no way, a lake in a dry desert. We know God is everything else, but yet we don't trust him. But a chair, and you don't even know the manufacturer of the chair, but yet you would. Trust it to support you. Trust it to hold you up. Trust it to be able to lean on. Some of us even rock back in it. Ain't it amazing? But we don't trust God that way. We question everything about God. Everything about the church. Everything that comes from the pulpit. Everything that somebody asks us to do, we got a question for it. How many of you all know what your chair, that chair made out of? Probably don't. You'll make an assumption. You'll say, oh, steel and fabric and cotton and whatever. But for all you know, it could be made by ColecoVision. It could be a chair made out of games and toys and all kind of stuff that really won't hold you up. You might be on your 1,000th sit down, and 1,001 is when the chair what? Gives way. But yet you trust it. How many of you all know worship is a disposition? An attitude. The Bible clearly says here, then they gladly. The writer is describing to us an attitude. The writer is describing to us a disposition, an attitude when you come into the house of God. Joy should fill our hearts just at the fact of what God has done for us thus far. You know, it's amazing to me. And we as a people will embrace ideas of nonsense, but not embrace who God is. You can see God through your 28 years of ministry. As I look through the flips and through the slides that Pastor Redmond prepared, I said, Lord, look at such humble beginnings. Amen. And though all of you weren't there at the beginning, it doesn't mean that you cannot be a part. Ain't it amazing how you go? When I was a young boy, listen, when I was growing up, it was a whole lot of things I didn't have. Amen. I was insecure. I know y'all can't believe that. Can't believe it, right? I know. But I was insecure. I had some issues with depression growing up. Had all my battles with other things that I had going on in my life growing up. But as I became a man and grew closer to God and knew more about what God had purposed me for and what God had called me for, I had become comfortable in the skin that God had put me in and placed me in and called me in. You can't put yourself in church and not be excited about being in the house of God. You know, some folks go home and say, I ain't getting nothing out of church today. Amen. But just like the old folks used to say, you ain't bring nothing. Child, you want to get something out of church, you got to bring something with you. You know, I used to hear my grandmother, and it's so fat, it's so bad that we've deviated away from it. She used to sing a song, say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She had a disposition. Didn't have much money. Couldn't read the Bible all that well. But she woke up with Jesus on her mind. A vital church will grow and become a big church. But one thing you must possess is a glad heart about being in church. Amen. Don't come in and say, oh, woe is me. I got to be in here today. Listen to this bald head preacher. Oh, excuse me, cuz. Listen to this bald head preacher. Preach the gospel. You got to come in with a happy heart. One thing I can say that I've encountered here at Body of Christ, and I'm so excited about it, is that the people that I see serving ministry are excited about what they do. That's amazing. Yesterday I was at the block party, and I like to sit back and watch. I'm not a critical person. I like to sit back and watch so that I can learn and observe. You learn more by sometimes being quiet and watching than you do talking. And so I like to sit back and observe. And I saw all of the people serving in ministry, and they were glad about it. Don't be mad because your church is growing. A vital church and a happy church should grow. That's what the word says. I didn't say that. I didn't make it up. Look at the word. Read it. And they were glad, received his word, and were baptized. Listen, don't deviate away from what the word is saying. There still has to be baptism. You know, some of us don't understand that it is an outwardly conviction of an inward confession. What you have said is that I've made up in my mind to make Jesus my choice. See, anything, let me tell you something. Anything that you love, anything that you're excited about, you ain't got to hide it. You know. Anybody ever dated a cross-eyed woman? Uh-oh. Some of us might have married one, huh? Okay. However, it don't make a difference. If you love her and she loves you, you ought to be excited about showing her off. I remember going in school, and this girl that I was dating, she wasn't, I guess if you want to say, the most physical attractive girl. You know, some people didn't think she was all that physically attractive, but I liked her. And guess what? It didn't matter to me how other people viewed her because I was excited about our love. The same thing should go for your church. You might not have everything that you think you should have, but be excited about your church. I'm going to hurry on. And then I'm gone. I'm going to get up out of here. But not only should you be excited, but also continue and be steadfast, be committed. See, one of the greatest problems in the world today is the fact of that nobody is committed to anything. Amen. We ain't committed to anything. Tell the truth. We start stuff with the idea that I can quit if I want to. I ain't got to go all the way through it. There's always a what? An out clause. If I decide to, I can leave when I get ready. Nobody is committed, but the Bible says steadfastly and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't deviate away from it. They didn't stray away from it. They did it on a constant basis, day after day after day after day after day after day. They kept on believing God was able. They kept on believing God would take care of you. They kept on believing. A vital church grows into a big church. But when I say big church, I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about because you are God's church. And there's a difference in big churches in size and churches that are big in heart. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in a pastor who only desires what you got in your pocketbook and not concerned about what you have in your heart. That should have been a moment for you to shout. I'm not saying it because he's my cousin. I'm saying it because it's the truth. Your pastor has your heart in his concerns. And I look at him sometimes in awe. And we ain't making it about him, but I look at him sometimes in awe and say, how is it that you can share yourself with so many different people? But it's because of God's grace and tender mercy. Big church. Big church. He says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Most of us in the church now believe fellowship is fried chicken and potato salad. Amen. That's what we believe. You know, we're getting ready to have a fellowship today at the church. So, girl, we're going to eat good. That's what we believe fellowship is. That's our idea when we get together. Oh, we fellowship and let's go over to the Dream Center, sit down and have some food. That's not the only thing that fellowship consists of. You ought to be like-minded. If you are a part of the body of Christ, y'all shouldn't be strangers. You may not be familiar with everybody, but you ought not be a stranger to nobody. Fellowship, you ought to be able to have everything and definitely some things in common with the person you're sitting next to. If you can't say number one thing to the person sitting next to you, you ought to say, we love the Lord. Amen. Because everybody don't like fried chicken. Everybody don't eat potato salad. Everybody don't want macaroni and cheese and greens and, I must be hungry, ham and turkey. Everybody don't want those things. But some people just want to be able to hold hands with somebody and somebody look them in the eyes and tell them, everything gonna be all right. By and by, after a while, by and by. Big church. I'm skipping past here. And they sold. Let me stand behind this chair. And they sold. Look, everybody got quiet. And they sold. I wish I could kneel down and duck behind this chair. And they sold. And they sold. And they sold their possessions. Amen. One thing we'll part with. We'll give our time. Our talent, won't we? Amen. Got like two people saying, uh-huh, and amen. Amen. We'll give our time. We'll give our talent. Most of us down, and I'm talking grabbing your pocket, your wallet, your pocketbook, your wallet, grabbing your purse. We'll give our time. We'll give our talent. We'll give our service. We'll give our amen. But we will not open up our pocketbook. Simply because it is what we love the most outside of anything else. And the apostles didn't have any problem because they knew what Jesus had taught them by the wayside. They didn't have any problem taking what they had and giving to somebody else because they knew what Jesus had taught them. As much as you give unto another, it will be. A vital church grows. There is a model here. There is a picture of what the church should look like. You know what's amazing about this chair? Is I'm 3+. Okay, that ain't none of y'all business. I'm a few hundred pounds. Delbert. I'm a few hundred pounds. But at the end of the day, I believe this chair can support me. The same thing goes for your life. It's been wrecked like a ship without a sail. The same thing goes for your job. You've lost it and don't know how you're going to get it back. The same thing goes for your marriage. It is lasting only on broken pieces and strings. But yet God is like this chair to hold you. Able to keep you. Able to sustain you. Able to give you a hope for a future. So, a big church is not a church that is just big in size. But the writer says here in the last clause, praising God and having favor with all the people. But this is the part I like. And the Lord, listen to that. And the Lord, it didn't say Aaron. And the Lord, it didn't say Kelvin. And the Lord, it didn't say Lady Redmond. And the Lord, it didn't say Deacon Derek. And the Lord, it didn't say Deacon Dozier. And the Lord added to the church daily. I come to tell you these few things, that if you believe God, a church that is vital will grow. All you got to do is remember that because I am God's church, I love when everything on the inside says I should be hating somebody. Because I am God's church, I forgive when I should not be forgiving. Because I am God's church, I serve when I don't have any more energy to serve. Ain't God all right? I come to tell somebody that if you know that you know that you know that you belong in God's church, and God's church is in you, you ought to stand to your feet and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am God's church. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on forgiving. I'm going to keep on forbearing. I'm going to keep on growing. We're going to keep on walking, marching up the King's Highway. In the way. Yes. In your right. In your mind. You are a big church, but you're not just a big church because you got numbers. You are a big church because you got big heart. You are a big church because you got big love. You are a big church because you're connected to the one thing that will keep you in times when nothing else will keep you. I used to hear my daddy say, when all else fails, you can depend on God. You can trust him anywhere, any place, and any time.
God praise. I love being a part of a big church, amen. A big church with a big heart and those who love to serve, amen. Come on, let's give the man of God a great big thank you. Let's give Sister Sarah a great big thank you. And if you don't mind, can you tell the Lord thank you? Oh yes. You may be seated. Bless you, brother. Thank you for the word. Sarah, thank you for the word and song. Have you been blessed today? Yeah. We have some old school church today. Amen. Old school church.